High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You know, I look at our load shedding schedules. It goes to stage 6, and then it's stage 1, and then it's stage 3, and then I'm so confused. If it was more, and if it was any less stable, I would definitely date it. But I need to know, just why are we going from? Why did we go from stage 3? We were doing so well, we really were. And then all of a sudden, boom, stage 6. So joining me is Hilton Trollope. He's an energy analyst. Morning, Hilton. How are you?
Good morning, Cassie. I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
All right, thank you. All right, so why did we, do we even ask anymore? Do we just take it and say, now we're in stage 6 and we just don't ask the questions?
No, I think we must continue to ask because, you know, these things are understandable. And they also, we can do things about them once we understand them. You know, it's a big technical system. There are these 80 big generators, essentially. Yes. 81, I think, of the really big ones in our 15 power stations. And those 80 generators are either old, and they've been hammered quite a lot, and not looked after very well, or there's some new ones in Madupi and Casino, which were badly designed and badly constructed. So it's like you've got a fleet of 80 lorries on the road, really, really big ones with a whole lot of machinery on them, and they're in bad condition. So about half of them at any stage now are either in planned maintenance, so that's like at the workshop, or more than a number of them are stuck next to the side of the road. Hmm. And the organization that has to look after them wasn't designed to look after so many kind of semi-wrecks. That's the problem. An organization itself has been hammered. So that's the kind of objective reality. All of these things lumbering around, a lot of them off the road. So the reason we were doing well, or it looked like we were doing well, firstly, from week to week, you can't really draw a conclusion about how things are working. It's more like a multi-month kind of average.
It's a bit like the lotto, isn't it? You just never really know what's coming your way.
No, you know, the lotto, you can be sure you will lose because the odds are stacked against you.
Well, thank you very much. You've just made my case.
No, but the odds aren't stacked against us here because we can fix this. All of those machines, they're on their way to retirement over the next 25 years, granted, or 30 years, but a whole lot of them need to be retired soonish because simply doesn't make sense to keep them on the road much longer. But until we've replaced them with something else, we have to keep them going. And we've got this organization called Eskom, which has been hammered. It's essentially bankrupt. It's being bailed out by taxpayer money. And the finance minister has been very clear what the conditions are when he said another 200-something billion will be given to Eskom over the coming years. And that is that Eskom must invest in transmission capabilities to extend the grid. And then the thing is, the person that won't come to the party in all of this is the Minerals and Energy Minister. But let's just stick with the Eskom stuff because that's what you asked me about. So just back to, are we doing well? Are we not doing well? What's going to happen for
Well, we know we're
winter?
Not doing well.
Yeah.
Hashtag just saying. Yes.
But I was just saying, you know, if we do well for a few weeks, we must realize that the underlying reality is that these machines are kind of on their way out, but they need to be looked after on their way out over the next decade. And the other thing is about these, you know, when I was drawing those, this sort of analogy with the tracks, the number that when they break down, it's entirely unpredictable. It's unreliable. They're unreliable. So, but the trouble is we're pushing them hard all the time. So I think what happened when we looked as though we were doing well, it was a long weekend. There's also the EFF stay away call. So a lot of businesses, people didn't go to work, businesses closed down. The demand dropped quite a lot. So essentially, because demand dropped quite a lot, there wasn't such a big gap between supply and demand. And it looked, well, of course, load shedding went down. It did, objectively. But the underlying situation didn't change. So as soon as everybody went back to work, and then we had some unpredictable breakdown, we're back at 6. And I don't like, I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm an engineer and an objective thinker. But the fact is that if we're sitting at 6 for quite a while, we still have a whole lot of unreliable trucks on the road. and at any stage, they will break down at some stage. And if demand goes up, which it does in winter because everybody switches on their heaters, also it takes a lot more energy to heat the normal water we heat. The heaters are put on for long times because of, you know, it's cold winter. If there's a cold snap, chances are we'll go over six. So we must prepare ourselves both logistically for that, you know, make provision, but also mentally for that. And also because of the momentum or the inertia, you can choose which word you like, in this big fleet of tracks, they're not going to fix soon. What will fix the situation is when we get new generation onto the grid. And I'm not a proponent for any technology. I have no affiliation with any company. But the analysis of the scientific community is that the cheapest, fastest new generation onto the grid will be solar and PV. I'll give you some good news. Do you want it before the weekend?
I'm still trying to grapple with the...
Okay, ask me some questions.
I feel quite worn down. All right. Okay, so good news. Let's leave it on a good news note.
Okay, so anyway, the other news isn't bad news. It's just things won't change much. You know, just continue on that track and get slightly worse as we go. The good news is that last year, the president on Gary Montash's own version, he came up with these words, twisted the energy minister's arm, not the electricity minister, and made him lift the requirement for licensing of large customer bought independent power producers. So a customer bought independent power producer is a big company like Anglo American's got a mine, and it finds an independent power producer that'll build it a big PV farm. Anyway, the requirements for licensing, which were quite onerous, none of it was happening, were lifted. And in the second half of last year, we got about 1,700 megawatts of projects registered. You don't have to license them now, you just register them. It means that there's space on the grid. And in the first 3 months of this year, we've got another 2,500, and there's 13,000 in the pipeline.
That's wonderful. So, Hilton, here's the thing, is that over the past 10 years, I would say, more and more South Africans are moving off the grid.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know, and that has to have an impact. Our traffic lights don't work generally, as a rule. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, you know, lessen the power or the electricity requirements.
Correct.
And yet our power utility still can't keep up.
Yeah, that's, Cathy, because over the past years, the amount put on by these private customers was tiny compared to the total because of those licensing requirements. So it's only from the middle of last year that it was possible to register these big projects. Now, they've only been registered, so they stopped. The last year one, the 1,700.
Right. Hilton, unfortunately, this is where we have to leave it. This is obviously a much longer discussion, but thank you very, very much for your time. I wish you a wonderful weekend, and may you be enlightened.